Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Member by Ram Golder, and here with Zechus Chulin Daf Tzadi Zayin, the seventh parak Gid Hanasha. The Zichu Masechus Chulin program has been generously sponsored anonymously to help bring a lasting Kinyan Torah to Lomde Daf Yomi worldwide. So the three daps we're going to focus on. Number one, a non-kosher fish was once found in a pot of meat. And Rabbi Yochanan ruled, Latame kafel arma, let an Aramean, a non-Jewish chef, taste the food, and if he reports that no flavor of non-kosher fish is detectable, the food is permitted. Rashi says he must tell us, Masiach lefitumo, in casual conversation, not as testimony. Rava says that he used to be troubled by a brisa, which ruled, regarding a pot in which meat was cooked, and subsequently milk was cooked in it, that the milk is forbidden if it absorbed discernible meat flavor. Similarly, truma, which was absorbed in a pot, would prohibit chulin, to non-kohanim, if truma flavor is discernible. Although in the latter case, a kohen can taste the food to determine if it has truma flavor, but who can taste meat to determine if it has milk flavor? The answer is that based on Rabbi Yochanan's ruling, we may rely on kafela arma. Point number two, thighs were once salted together with the Gid Hanasha in the Reish Gusa's house. Ravina permitted the thighs and Rav Acha bar Rav prohibited them. Mar bar Ravashi reported that his father permitted such a case. Rav Acha bar Rav asked Ravina what his basis was for prohibiting them. Presumably, it was Shmuel's ruling that Moliach haruhu karoseach, something salted is like something hot, and kavush haruk mevushal, something pickled is like something cooked, meaning both salting and pickling transfer flavor like heat and cooking do. Therefore, Ravina held that the thighs absorbed forbidden flavor from the Gid Hanasha. But Rav Acha objected. Shmuel ruled that although cooking causes forbidden flavor to spread throughout food, roasting does not. And salting cannot be tantamount to the heat of cooking because since Shmuel said that pickling is kemavushal, like something cooked, it implies that when he said salting is keroseach, like something hot, it means it is like heat through roasting. The Gemara concedes that this is a difficulty. And point number three, the Gemara taught that prohibited substances which were cooked into food can become nullified in 60 times their volume. Rabbi Chanina says that when measuring such a mixture, Mishayim Berotu, Vekifa, Bechasichos, Bekadera, they measure with the permitted soup, the sediments, the slices, and the pot. Since the flavor spreads evenly, these are all calculated towards 60 times the forbidden substance. There are two opinions about how much of the pot is calculated. Some say it means Bekadera Atzma, with the pot itself, meaning the actual walls of the pot, because we assume the flavor spread evenly throughout the walls. Others say we measure b'may d'bal kedera, with that which the pot absorbed, meaning the permitted material absorbed into the walls of the pot. Rashi adds that this only applies when the original volume of permitted food is known and we know how much was absorbed and that the prohibited food remained unchanged. Otherwise, the pot presumably absorbed an equal ratio of prohibited and permitted matter. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, a non-kosher fish was once found in a pot of meat, and Rabbi Yochanan ruled, let an Aramean, non-Jewish chef, taste the food, and if he reports that no flavor of non-kosher fish is detectable, the food is permitted. Rashi says he must tell us, Masiach lefitumo, in casual conversation, not as testimony. Rava says that he used to be troubled by a brisa, which ruled, regarding a pot in which meat was cooked, and subsequently milk was cooked in it, that the milk is forbidden if it absorbed discernible meat flavor. Similarly, truma, which was absorbed in a pot, would prohibit chulin, to non-kohanim, if truma flavor is discernible. Although in the latter case, a kohen can taste the food to determine if it has truma flavor, but who can taste meat to determine if it has milk flavor? The answer is that based on Rabbi Yochanan's ruling, we may rely on kafela arma. Point number two, thighs were once salted together with the Gid Hanasha in the Reish Gusa's house. Ravina permitted the thighs and Rav Acha bar Rav prohibited them. Mar bar Ravashi reported that his father permitted such a case. Rav Acha bar Rav asked Ravina what his basis was for prohibiting them. Presumably, it was Shmuel's ruling that Moliach haruhu karoseach, something salted is like something hot, and kavush haruk mevushal, something pickled is like something cooked, meaning both salting and pickling transfer flavor like heat and cooking do. Therefore, Ravina held that the thighs absorbed forbidden flavor from the Gid Hanasha. But Rav Acha objected. Shmuel ruled that although cooking causes forbidden flavor to spread throughout food, roasting does not. And salting cannot be tantamount to the heat of cooking because since Shmuel said that pickling is kemavushal, like something cooked, it implies that when he said salting is keroseach, like something hot, it means it is like heat through roasting. The Gemara concedes that this is a difficulty. And point number three, the Gemara taught that prohibited substances which were cooked into food can become nullified in 60 times their volume. Rabbi Chanina says that when measuring such a mixture, Mishayim Berotuv, Vekifa, Vechasichos, Vekadera, they measure with the permitted soup, the sediments, the slices, and the pot. Since the flavor spreads evenly, these are all calculated toward 60 times the forbidden substance. There are two opinions about how much of the pot is calculated. Some say it means Vekadera Atzma, with the pot itself, meaning the actual walls of the pot, because we assume the flavor spread evenly throughout the walls. Others say we measure b'may d'bal kedera, with that which the pot absorbed, meaning the permitted material absorbed into the walls of the pot. Rashi adds that this only applies when the original volume of permitted food is known and we know how much was absorbed and that the prohibited food remained unchanged. Otherwise, the pot presumably absorbed an equal ratio of prohibited and permitted matter. All right, so now we go to Siman Dav Tzadi Zayin, and our standard Siman is a chess master, a chess master. So here goes. The chess master, using milk chocolate pieces, urges non-Jewish opponent to taste one and wait to see if he would comment on the meat taste, while he himself munched on meat that was cured in salt together with the ginanasha, while using his analytical chess mind to calculate bitul b'shishim, using the soup sediment slices and even the pot. Once again, slow motion. The chess master, that must be on Dav Tzadi Zayin, chess. The chess master, using milk chocolate pieces, urges non-Jewish opponent to taste one and wait to see if he would comment on the meat taste, which reminds us, a non-kosher fish was once found in a pot of meat, and Rabbi Yochanan ruled, letame kafel arma'a, let an Aramean non-Jewish chef taste the food, and if he reports that no flavor of non-kosher fish is detectable, the food is permitted. Rashi says he must tell us, masiyah chafitumo, in casual conversation, not as testimony. So the chess master, using milk chocolate pieces, urged his non-Jewish opponent to taste one and wait to see if he would comment on the meat taste, while he himself munched on meat that was cured in salt together with the ginanasha, which reminds us the Gemara discusses moliach koroseach and whether salting is like cooking or roasting. So the chess master, using milk chocolate pieces, urged his non-Jewish opponent to taste one and wait to see if he would comment on the meat taste, while he himself munched on meat that was cured in salt together with the ginanasha, and used his analytical chess mind to calculate bitul b'shishim, using the soup sediment slices and even the pot, which reminds us, the Gemara taught that prohibited substances which were cooked into food can become nullified in 60 times their volume. Rabbi Chanina says that when measuring such a mixture, Mishayim Berotu Bekifa Ubechasikos Bekadera, they measure with the permitted soup, the sediments, the slices, and the pot. Since the flavor spreads evenly, these are all calculated towards 60 times the forbidden substance. There are two opinions about how much of the pot is calculated. So once again, the chess master, using milk chocolate pieces, urges non-Jewish opponent to taste one and wait to see if he would comment on the meat taste, while he himself munched on meat that was cured in salt together with the ginanasha, and used his analytical chess mind to calculate bitul b'shishim, using the soup sediment slices and even the pot. All right, so now it's time for a four blah blah chazara. Dav Tzadi Gimel. So the Siman Dav Tzadi Gimel is a train chugging along. So here goes. Roast beef railroad. That must be on Dav Tzadi Gimel. Train chugging along. Roast beef railroad, which serves sandwiches with chayl from the flanks that were covered by meat, which reminds us, we learned that chayl from the flanks covered by meat is permitted. So roast beef railroad, which served sandwiches with chayla from the flanks that were covered by meat and didn't allow certain butchers on board because they were caught selling a Seorah-sized portion of forbidden chayla, which reminds us, the Gemara states, Tabach shenimsa chayla v'acharav, concerning a butcher after whom chayla was found, meaning he sold meat without fulfilling his responsibility to remove all the chayla, Rav Yehuda says he's punished b'kasorah if the meat contained a mere barleycorn's volume of chayla. Rabbi Yochanan requires a kazayas of a chelev. Rabbi Papa says they don't argue. Rabbi Yochanan's measure of a kazayas is a halkoso, to give him lashes, a rabbinic punishment for causing others to sin. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda's smaller measure of a kasora is la'abro, to remove him from being allowed to sell meat. So roast beef railroad would serve sandwiches with chayla from the flanks that were covered by meat and didn't allow certain butchers on board because they were caught selling a Seorah-sized portion of forbidden chayla, was full of new recruits to the business now that butchers were trusted to remove the ginanasha, which reminds us the Gemara discusses the changing policy regarding trusting butchers to remove the ginanasha. Initially, they ruled like Rabbi Meir that removing the ginanasha requires digging after it and removing even embedded offshoots as presented on the previous daf, and butchers could not be trusted to carry out this painstaking task. Later, they retracted and ruled like Rabbi Yehuda, who only required removing the surface section of the ginanasha, and butchers could be relied upon to do so. Dav Tzadi Dalet. So the seventh Dav Tzadi Dalet is Tzad, a hunter. So here goes. The hunter. That must be on Dav Tzadi Dalet. Tzad. The hunter was sending a whole thigh with a ginnanusha to an idolater, fairy operator, which reminds us, the mission on the previous daf states, one may send a thigh to an idolater with the ginnanusha inside it, because its place is recognizable, and a Jew purchasing this meat will realize the gid was not removed. The mission implies that only a whole thigh may be sent to an idolater, but not a chasuka, not a cut-up thigh, where one might think the ginnanusha was removed. This is explained in two ways. So the hunter who is sending a whole thigh with the ginnanusha to an idolater, fairy operator, after feeling guilty for Geneva's das when his attendant compensated him for taking them across the river by giving him a tray for chicken with the impression that it was kosher, which reminds us, Shmuel said, Asu lignov das abrios. It's forbidden to steal people's minds, meaning mislead them. Bafil daito shel over kochavim, even an idolater's mind. Shmuel once told his attendant to compensate the Gentile fairy operator and was upset when his attendant either gave him a tray for chicken with the impression that it was kosher or gave him diluted wine with the impression it was pure. So the hunter who is sending a whole thigh with the gid hanasha to an idolater, fairy operator, after feeling guilty for Geneva's das, when his attendant compensated him for taking them across the river by giving him a tray of chicken with the impression that it was kosher, saw that another hunter had no problem selling the idolater a tray for meat that the idolater assumed was kosher, because the idolater was only misleading himself, which reminds us, Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef relates the text used for announcing when a treifa entered the meat market, not for bisul b'nei chela, meat for the general population, meaning idolaters, has fallen into our hands. We can't explicitly say that treifa meat has fallen into our hands because the idolaters will not buy meat which we will not eat. The Gemara asks that the sellers are misleading them to think they're buying kosher meat. It answers, it's they who are misleading themselves since they could ask if the meat is kosher. Dav Tzadihei, so the Simur Dav Tzadihei is a Tzahal, tank commander. So here goes. When the tank commander, that must move on Dav Tzadihei, Tzahal. When the tank commander was told by his captive adversary that the meat he bought in the idolater's market was a treifa, which reminds us a butcher once told someone that had he been on good terms with him, he would have received meat from the fattened ox he had shechted. His adversary retorted that he had actually eaten meat from its choicest parts after purchasing meat from a certain idolater. The butcher informed him that he had shechted two animals that day, and the one sold to the idolater was a treifa. Rebbe declared, because of this shota who acted improperly in selling treifa meat to an idolater to sell in the market, should we prohibit that day's entire meat market? So when the tank commander was told by his captive adversary that the meat he bought in the idolater's market was a treifa, his second-in-command commented that he would never have made that error because he only ate meat that is tied and sealed, which reminds us, Rav says, Basur kevin shenisa al mina ayin usur. Once a piece of meat became hidden from sight, it's prohibited because it may become exchanged with non-kosher meat. So when the tank commander was told by his captive adversary that the meat he bought in the idolater's market was a treifa, his second-in-command commented that he would never have made that error because he only ate meat that is tied and sealed, which he would be serving tonight at the celebration of their assured victory as he saw an omen that they will win, which reminds the Gemara discusses omens which do not constitute divination. Dav Tzadivav. So the Simur Dav Tzadivav is a royal herald proclaiming the king's decrees. So here goes. The royal herald, that must be on Dav Tzadivav, Tzav, King's Decrees. A royal herald proclaiming the king's decrees. The royal herald who stopped the guard from checking a man's identification badge and had him recognize him by sight alone, which reminds us we learned that Tevi'ah sign is better than a simon. The Gemara proves the reliability of Tevi'ah sign. Otherwise, how is a blind man permitted to have relations with his wife, and how is anyone permitted to his wife at night, whom he can't see? Rather, they must rely on Tevi'ah sign of the kala, recognition of her voice. Another proof, Eidos from two witnesses that a person with certain simanim killed someone is insufficient to execute him. But if they recognize a murderer with Tevi'ah sign, we do execute him. So the royal herald who stopped the guard from checking a man's identification badge and had him recognize him by sight alone held up a tiny whole gid hanush and proclaimed whoever eats this entire gid is guilty, even though it's tiny. Which reminds us of machlokes whether eating an entire gid hanush is smaller than a kazayas, one is chayev. The rabbanan hold beriyahi, it's an entire creation and incurs punishment with less than the standard shear. Rav Yehuda holds that because Achil Aksivabe, the term eating is written regarding the Gedanashim prohibition, it requires a kazayas, the shear for halakhic eating, to be chayev. So the royal herald, who stopped the guard from checking a man's identification badge, who had him recognize him by sight alone, held up a tiny whole Gedanashim and proclaimed, whoever eats this entire sinu is guilty, even though it's tiny, while demonstrating that if one roasts the thigh with the Gedanashim instead of cooking it, the surrounding meat stays permitted, which reminds us the ginnanusha cooked in the yarch prohibits benos and tam, but roasting doesn't spread flavor. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf brings a machlokes about the chalav of the ginnanusha, but all agree it's permitted midoraisa? That's on daf. Tzadi Beis. Good. Number two. Which stuff do you discuss relying on Kefela Arma'a, an Aramean non-Jewish chef, to taste food for forbidden flavor? That's on Daf Tzadi Zayin. Good.
Number three.
Which stuff do we discuss Molich Karosech and whether it's like cooking or roasting? That's on Daf Tzadi Zayin. Good.
Number four.
Which stuff do we discuss whether one gets malchus for eating and target a nasha smaller than a kazayis? That's on Daf Tzadivav.
Good. Number five.
Which stuff do you discuss whether it's the inedible get a nasha itself, which is prohibited, or the kanokanos, the offshoots? That's on Daf Tzadi Beis.
Good.
Number six. Which stuff do you discuss penalties for a butcher who sold meat containing chalav? That's on Daf Tzadi Gimel.
Good.
Number seven. Which stuff do you discuss calculating all elements of a mixture towards shishim, including the pot? That's on Daf Tzadi Zayin.
Good.
Number eight. Which stuff do you discuss Geneva's Das? That's on Daf Tzadi Dalad.
Good.
Number nine. Which stuff do we learn the review to hold that only the right Gid Hanasha is prohibited? That's on Daf Tzadi Olive.
Good.
Number 10. Which stuff do you discuss places where the Torah Chazal spoke B'lashon Havayi in hyperbole, such as in saying that 300 Kohanim are required to clear the golden grape clusters hanging by the Heichal entrance? That's on Daf Tzadi. Excellent. All right, that concludes this pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.